Episode 1, Helpless Female Hikes to Six Lakes Basin with Wild Greg and His Minions. Part 2. I try not to feel sorry for myself, but you try hiking with three athletic minions and a man with the genetically endowed lung capacity of a racehorse. He hadn't even been exercising much lately. Even though the altitude had started at 6,600 feet and gone up, I seemed to be the only one who had been forced to notice. But, as I was saying, things got adjusted. Wild Greg hung back with me after setting up rendezvous details with the minions. The upside of this was I no longer had to strain my compromised leg to keep up. I even stopped and enjoyed some of the wildflowers for a few seconds here and there. Wild Greg put on a good show of patience with my pace, and he even initiated some of the botany observations. The downside was that the minions would rest in some shade until I caught up. Then we would all keep going and going over one summit, across the side of another mountain, and through another summit pass. At last we arrived at Six Lakes Basin. You could tell because there were several small lakes all right next to each other. It was a little disappointing that fire had destroyed many of the surrounding trees. However, if the trees had been green, we probably wouldn't have been able to see all the lakes as well. As it was, I saw five of them right away coming over the last summit. We proceeded down another slippery rock, loose dirt path, with me trying not to do a face plant. Two of the light-footed minions were wearing the same model of sandals as me, so I knew faster was possible. I attribute at least part of their speed to lack of life injuries. Wild Greg just doesn't care about blood and pain and scars. Before long, we were all dipping our feet in the cool lake water. I was fairly satisfied with the whole hike until Wild Greg asked the minions, "Who wants to go explore the other lake?" It seemed I wasn't even going to get a vote. I thought I might cry, but held my peace. I was relieved when Wild Greg mentioned something about one of them starting back to camp with me. I assured him that I could follow the trail by myself for about halfway. He wanted to believe me, but I could see the skepticism in his blue eyes. Still, both of us could tell that none of the minions wanted to miss out on seeing the other lakes they had traveled so far to get close to. I added that if I didn't know which way to go, I would stop and wait. Partially in response to the lack of belief I saw in his expression, he is a man of few words, I modified that to admitting I would stop if I noticed there were choices. I have a reputation for not noticing forks in the trail. In the end, he handed me his heretofore secret emergency whistle with attached compass, giving me a quick review on the sun's relative position. I was feeling fairly cheered again until Wild Greg noted aloud that we had hiked 2.5 hours. With my legs already periodically trembling under their effort, the idea of another 2.5 hours was daunting. I tried to put it out of my mind and just take one step at a time. As I walked along at my own tedious and embarrassingly slow pace, I entertained myself by attempting estimates of how many miniature grasshoppers were popping around me with each step. I wondered at the lack of directional aptitude of crickets, as the large, grotesque black bugs seemed to flail in midair when they jumped. I contemplated my utter aloneness, being past the one summit and on the side of a mountain completely out of communication, and no signs of other humans anywhere. I scanned the region for predators and hoped they were all taking their afternoon naps. I snapped a few photos of wildflowers and considered the possibility of giving them names I chose instead of those in books. Just as I was approaching the second summit, I was surprised to hear Wild Greg call out to me from a little ways below. He had left the minions far behind and was trotting energetically up, and I do mean up, the mountain trail to find me. He sweetly said he had been worried about me. He commented that I looked relaxed. That was partly because I was going my own pace and was ahead of everyone. It was also because I was planning a short rest period at the top of this coming summit. I remembered that after that, the trail would be much harder to follow, and I thought they might arrive after a pleasant rest time for me. I must have already appeared refreshed enough to him, because I had only been sitting on my small jagged rock for about 60 seconds when he told me I should get started on the next section. Phooey! When I expressed my concerns, he pointed out some landmarks below and said, "Just basically head that way." So I did. I absolutely lost my way, and there was no trail in sight by the time I was 2/3 of the way down the mountain. Fortunately, I could still get glimpses of the points of interest enough to aim for Black Lake. I was getting very tired, though, and my gait was increasingly awkward and deteriorating. I tried to keep my muscles from cramping or pulling by walking as loosely as possible, which evolved into swinging my arms and legs from a hunched core unit. I may have looked like a zombie in a baby pink Cocoa Beach baseball hat. Maybe the hat would soften the terrifying visual impact. Finally, I entered one short portion of trail with a huge dead tree trunk that I remembered. It was still standing upright. Its remaining branches curled off the top and were decorated with wisps of drying green moss, like a bad perm. Someone had carved a whimsical square window in the trunk. It was too high to peep into and made one wonder what was peeping out. Walking in my Luna sandals, with no one to talk to, I was pretty quiet. So quiet that a resting mountain goat did not hear me coming until I was within 20 feet of it. Since I did not know it was there in the shrubs either, it was a thrill in more than one way to see it spring up and run away into the woods. I was tempted to follow it, like any good princess lost in the fairy woods, but I wasn't sure how magical the whistle was. It wasn't long until two of the minions found me, because apparently I actually was on the trail right then. In another short while, we three made it to camp, and I collapsed into a chair. Wild Greg had run back to give moral support to the third minion, whose feet were slightly bruised after a period of extended running up the mountain. Poor minion, but they made it back, and the minions celebrated victory in the camp. I stayed in my chair almost exclusively for 4 hours. I was fed and offered liquids regularly. In the background, I could hear Wild Greg and his minions planning a hike for the next day, but I ignored them as best I could. I was so stiff every time I got up, I might not be able to walk in the morning anyway. I wasn't sure whether to be happy or sad when I woke the next morning feeling a bit sore, but basically limber. I put on my good attitude and asked what I needed to be ready for and when. The oldest minion said, "Hike in 30 minutes." But Wild Greg spoke up from where he was washing the breakfast dishes. "I'm not sure I'm ready to take your mother on another death march." That is the fond description the minions have given to all the hikes with their father. But in my case, it was a more accurate description. There was consternated chattering among the minions that boiled down to them denying that anyone came close to dying. Wild Greg countered, "But none of you were considering throwing yourselves over the side of the cliff to end your pain." I looked up at him quickly, expostulating, "I never vocalized that." But I could tell that he knew I had thought it. Even if it was just dark humor to get me through the hardest parts, he also knew I had hiked hard. I was left at the campsite with strict orders to have fun doing things like playing my flute and crocheting. I was told I could go on very short walks, but not too far. I was prohibited from getting lost. They even asked if they should leave the emergency whistle with me, but I thought they should take it. Most importantly, they left me with most of the snacks. Minion number one's rebuttal.
"I did provide fluids for you during the death march, which is more than any other member of the group did for you. And we all suffered together, and it was lots of fun, so we should do it again sometime."
Minion number two's rebuttal.
"I was very willing to go back with you. That look on my face was mostly the fear of retribution were I to solitarily escort you back up the mountain. And you were off the trail at that point. But in your defense, we all lost it there on the way back.
Minion number three's rebuttal.
We only had shade one of the times that we stopped to wait. I only said the word cliff once during the entire hike when you were well out of earshot. To explain to the other minions why our father had stopped and pulled out his binoculars to look for you on the cliffside.
The end.